Vivian Myberg from Israel Update, ICEJ, giving us an update on Israel. Vivian, you had a very busy week. Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing us to still have this interview this morning.
Oh, it's fantastic to be with you. Always wonderful to share what's going on in the Middle East. And thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Vivian, exciting things happening. It was elections recently in Israel. And what was deemed to be a nail biter when it comes to results that came in, it was quite surprising, or maybe not surprising, but for those that were predicting what the polls were going to say, it looks like the longest standing or serving Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has actually got a majority instead of something where it might have been more of a coalition, right? Do you want to talk to us more about that and how it worked with the votes?
Yes, of course, many people are already aware that this is the fifth election in the past 43 months, which is now just that whole impasse has now been broken, actually the last 4 years. And so this was the first decisive election. And yeah, in the end, just to repeat again for people that might not realize, the Knesset has 120 seats. So it's all about getting over the 60 majority threshold to be able to govern the country. And they always have to make a coalition. So Likud, which is the party for Benjamin Netanyahu, garnered 32 seats, which is very good for that party. But then in coalition with his right-wing parties, and that's the religious Zionist party, the Shas party, the Torah party, they're the far more right-wing religious parties. If you put them all together, they got 64 votes out of the 120. And that is in Israeli terms, certainly in recent politics, a very strong majority. If it was 61 or 62, that's very tentative. And, of course, if somebody leaves, then they have to have another election. So this is a strong showing for the right wing. And it's very interesting, actually, because his opposition parties, when they were last in a coalition with him, with Bibi, changed a certain law in the Israeli parliament, which was that you had to pass the threshold of 3.25% to get even a seat in the party. It used to, in the government, it used to be 2%. They pushed that up to 3.25%. And literally because of that they changed in 2014 is the reason that he got all of these seats, because it pushed out the very people that asked for that change in 2014. So Avigdor Lieberman of the Israel Netanyahu party and Yair Lapid of Yesh Atid, which is the last ruling prime minister of Israel, were the two people that asked for this. And they actually were pushed right out of the government with that right now. And because of that rule, some of the left-wing parties, particularly the Meretz party and some of the Arab parties and even the Jewish Home Centralist party, totally didn't even get a single seat in the Israeli parliament. And their seats would have then ended up going to the right wing, which pushed Benjamin to the 64 seats of where he is now. So it's just very, very interesting. And if I have to summarize it, it's literally because the two left-wing parties didn't want to unite together, and the two Arab parties didn't want to unite together because they ran on separate ballots. None of them made it because of the threshold law. And those seats, as I say, went to Benjamin Netanyahu, which gave him his clear majority.
Very interesting. What would have been deemed a strategic move in the past has now worked in favor of Bibi and his party.
Yes.
Amazing stuff. And when it comes to Kristallnacht, what's happening with that? Give us an update what that means and how that plays in today's world.
Well, of course, last night, or yesterday, shall I say, the night before, was the remembrance again of Kristallnacht, which is the day between the 9th of November and the 10th of November, that evening in 1938, that Nazi rioters went on an absolute rampage through the streets of Germany and Austria and destroyed 267 synagogues, 7,000 Jewish businesses, and arrested 30,000 Jewish men, placing them and deporting them to concentration camps, and also murdering a number of Jews that evening. This was really, really seen as the beginning, effectively, of the Holocaust. And the sadness, of course, was that many of the local population just stood and watched as their neighbors' homes, their neighbors' businesses burnt down and did nothing about it. And I think it gave a green light to the government of the time that they could go ahead and deport these Jews and nobody would do anything about it. And so this is the evening that we really remembered this, particularly yesterday. And what I wanted to bring to the fore about this is, of course, that this did not happen in a vacuum. You know, this happened because of what had gone before. And it's so sad that today we are seeing exactly the same times, the same things happening. Some of the Holocaust survivors, and their numbers are really dwindling, are saying things like, it didn't just start on that evening. It started with their friends at school calling them names, anti-Semitic incidents happening, exactly the same things that we're seeing happening around the world today. And just to give you an idea of why I'm saying that, we've seen just a survey, if I can just mention, from the United States, is that the anti-Semitism has literally, let me just give you those figures quickly, has literally gone up with another level altogether. The difference between 2020 and 2021 is a 64% increase in anti-Semitic attacks, which is really crazy. And I think the big danger is that 60% of young people in America do not even know that 6 million Jews were murdered during the Holocaust. And 10% of them say they've never heard of the Holocaust. And so we're finding that it happened 84 years ago, and of course people are not remembering anymore, and particularly our youth are not remembering anymore, and it's faded into memory. And so we see this rising anti-Semitism on college campuses, particularly at schools and places like that. I mean, even just across America generally, not even just the youth, 45% of all Americans do not even know that 6 million Jews were murdered. And so it's up to us to keep this alive. It's the biggest atrocity that ever happened, the biggest murder that ever happened. We all know what happened in the Holocaust, I trust those that are listening to us today. But that we really take it seriously, that the world will not forget what happened, and we not allow that to ever happen again.
Thank you, Vivian, for that update. It's quite astounding to think that millions of people in the States don't even understand or know what the term Holocaust means or what it meant.
Yes.
And like you say, it was less than 90 years ago, and that is the case. And 64% rise in anti-Semitism is also frightening stats, and that is just in the States alone. It'd be interesting to know what that is across the world. Thank you for those updates. Last one, just when it comes to back home, have ties strengthened between South Africa and Israel now with the new prime minister that is now in Israel? Is there any changes over there? Obviously, we still need to be praying. Yeah, that laugh, Vivian, says it all. We need to be praying that South Africa does strengthen their ties with Israel.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Netanyahu is, of course, more right-wing, so our government is not going to be any more friendly with him. In fact, it will be just the opposite. They're more friends with the left-wing and with the pro-Palestinian parties, and his particular coalition that he's needed to form, which have the religious Zionist movement as part of that, one of the people that are in that party are very against the Arabs and are actually very against the LGBT community. So he has his own challenge on that side of how he's going to make a coalition with them in the face of wanting to keep good foreign relations with America and with South Africa. So it would certainly not be helping the situation within South Africa, but we continue to pray. But I just want to end with one little bit of also good news again. There's so much good news that comes out of Israel as well. And they are a light to the nations with what they give the nations, as Genesis said they would be. And, for example, they've just developed and just worked on a saliva test for pregnancy. And this will hit the shelves next year. This was developed by doctors from Sheba Medical University Hospital. And so if you're pregnant, you'll be able to go and just have a saliva test.
That is very interesting. Thank you so much, Vivian Myberg, for giving us this week's Israel update. Vivian Myberg from ICEJ, the South African branch, which is based in Stellenbosch.